It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. After 24 years as president of Chatham University, Dr. Esther Barazzoni is retiring this summer. During the two decades of her tenure, the university has undergone a number of changes. One of the most notable was the admission of male undergraduate students at the longtime all-women's school. Dr. Barazzoni joins us now in studio for the latest in our series of exit interviews. Esther Barazzoni, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. Good to be with you.
2 years ago, Chatham University made the controversial decision to allow male undergraduate students for the first time. Male graduate students were admitted in 1993, but this was a big change, and basically affecting the campus-wide. What was it like to oversee that transition?
Oh, I wish I could come up with a really clever comparison. It was, as you might suppose, a difficult conversation, extremely, because Chatham was founded in 1869 as a women's college. So we've had more than 140 years as a single-gender undergraduate institution. But as you pointed out, we had had men since 1993 when our graduate program started. So it isn't that there weren't any men on campus. So it was more a question of tradition, whether times required changing and what Chatham required. And I will say that our whole community came together around it after some tough conversations, certainly. But everyone understood that we could attend to many of the same goals and beliefs, for example, women's leadership, which we now support through the Women's Institute, through the Center for Women in Politics, the Center for Women in Entrepreneurship, that we could still lead and we could exemplify gender equality without focusing solely on women. So our community came together, and I'd say it's been a very successful initiative.
But there had to have been some growing pains. And I'm wondering, when you say that there were some tough conversations, yeah, what was the nature of those conversations? What were the concerns that people brought up?
Well, I think one of the things that was an understandable concern was whether we were becoming just like everyone else. But we were already not like everyone else. Chatham is an extraordinarily graduate-intensive institution. More than 70% of our total student enrollment is graduate students. So most people don't understand that about Chatham. So that was one thing, and whether we would still be differentiated in our undergraduate program. So we set about seeing, as I mentioned before, that we would preserve some of our historic values and commitments, but that we would also seek to do some other things in new and different ways that served the world of tomorrow. Higher ed doesn't just look past to the past, but is supposed to also see what the world of today needs and how to offer it so that students are prepared for the world that's coming. For example, simple thing. We're now requiring all of our students own passports before they graduate because it's a global world. We don't just offer international opportunities through various programs, but we say, this is as important as your diploma. Wow, that's an overstatement, but this is something that's a symbolic statement that we also hope you will use, and we make it possible for students to use while they're undergraduate students. We have joined the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to work on providing opportunities. We've been given a grant. We're working on a new program to give students, quote unquote, soft skills in business, because no matter how much you teach accounting or business 101, if students don't know how to communicate, don't know how to handle themselves, they're not going to be successful. We also created the opportunity for students to matriculate into our very challenging, very hard to get into graduate programs as they entered undergraduate school and shortened time to combine degrees. These are all ways that we said we have to look at our undergraduate education in a new way. So the shift away from being single sex was only one piece of what we did.
Was there something about being in charge of an all-women's university that was special? And was it a special experience for the women? Not that anything that's happening there now necessarily takes away from that. But there had to be something unique about that experience to grow and change and mature as a young woman without the men around.
Well, I think that's true. And you talk to any alumna for whom that was a very distinct experience, and she will tell you at great length and with great passion why it was a wonderful experience. However, for each young woman who would tell you that, 10 more would tell you that they wouldn't come to the institution, despite their interest in focusing on their growth as women. So that's a matter to be contended with. And a very interesting factoid is that we had a women's studies program. We always focused on women's leadership when we were a women's college. But we only had 3 or 4 students who chose to specialize in that as an area of study. So that much of the learning was by osmosis, which is a valid way of learning, but not necessarily the only one. Now we've created a women's only residence. We have created a women's leadership certificate with attached courses. And we have a waiting list for students to get into it. So now we have 25, 26 students the first year out of this women's leadership certificate, and we would only have 3 or 4 students before. So I would argue that what women seem to want, based on our experience, is the opportunity within a balanced environment of both men and women to pull aside and at the same time to focus on their own growth as women. And it seems to be working.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest is retiring Chatham University President Dr. Esther Barazzoni. We're talking about her nearly quarter century tenure at that university. Undergraduate enrollment at Chatham University had declined to 543 students. If the college had not made the decision to go co-ed, where would it be?
The university would be fine, but undergraduate education at the university would be in trouble because the university as a whole is more than 2,200 students, of whom only 540-some, when we made the decision a couple of years ago, were undergraduates. But now we're going quite in the opposite direction. But yes, we would have had to have made a serious decision about what we were going to do about our undergraduate program.
A 2014 Tribune Review article addressed the issue of staffing turnover at Chatham. The article cites as examples 4 vice presidents of enrollment/admissions since 2008, 5 deans of the graduate school in that period. Since 2003, Chatham has had 5 directors/vice presidents for international affairs, and its College for Continuing and Graduate Education has had 6 deans since 2005. 5 people have been vice president for advancement since 2010. Has staffing turnover been an issue at the university?
This is simply not correct. The Tribune Review had fun a couple years ago during the co-ed debate putting out some of this fallacious information.
You're saying, in fact, these numbers are not correct.
I think some of them are correct. We've had very serious turnover in our advancement office. This is true. But hit out of the blue, I'm thinking, what is the story on CE? This is not correct. On continuing education, it's simply not the way you put it. Chatham has a lot of long-term, very stable senior vice presidents, which no one seems to report. Our VP, our finance VP, has been there a dozen years. My assistant has been there 10. We had a vice president for development who was there for 13. So it is true, some positions sometimes seem to get cursed. But to selectively pick up on this and to count all the people who stepped in, as your numbers do, but people who step into the office and are overseeing it for a few weeks or months are hardly to be counted as part of turnover. So I don't think Chatham has overall had more turnover than any other institution.
Has the turnover that has occurred Has that been at all a cause of concern for you or anybody else at the university?
I'm always concerned when good people leave. I'm always hoping that a good person will stay, and generally they do. There is a reason for turnover, which is not just based on my management. It's also based on, when I think about some of the advancement numbers, two of those women were mothers of young children who, when they hit the reality of being a vice president for development, which is a position that requires a great deal of travel, these were perfectly competent, wonderful people who had been able to perform at a lower level in an advancement program, but did not want to do that anymore once they were confronted with the reality of being responsible for an overall fundraising operation. So no harm, no foul, they left.
What are the particular challenges of a private university in the 21st century? There's a lot of competition out there for the education dollar. And there is also a challenge for families to be able to afford higher education. So in order to keep those enrollment numbers healthy, what are the particular challenges that a university like Chatham faces? Are they distinctly different from what other colleges and universities face today?
You mean, is the private sector different than other sectors in terms of being able to manage in this difficult economic environment?
Well, that plus the fact that Chatham University is unique. It provides a unique education. It's a smaller urban campus. You're in the same backyard with the CMUs and the University of Pittsburgh's. So is there a particular challenge for a university like Chatham that might be unique or different from the challenges that all universities face in this very competitive education environment?
Well, first, you're right to say there are challenges that all sectors face. When I began my career, I was much more likely to pit the publics against the privates in my commentary and to say that the public subsidy made it possible for public institutions to keep their tuitions down and made a harder go for private institutions. There's still a lot to that. If we build a building, we raise every penny for it, whereas publics don't have to. However, all of higher ed is increasingly getting hit by a general economic crimp, by lack of public valuing of education. The U.S. is now number 14 in the world in terms of college graduation rates, which is going to have a very serious impact on our economic competitiveness in the future. And it's because we no longer do things like the GI Bill and the things that made us number one in the past. So the failure for public investment hits everybody. It just hits the private sector a little harder. Small, religious, single-gender, private institutions have been predicted to be going to close at a much higher rate than others, and that seems increasingly to be true. So when you have because of the cost, because of changing student tastes, more students used to be willing to go to private institutions or to liberal arts institutions or to women's colleges than are now. So students now think an institution of at least 1,000 undergraduates and maybe more than 5,000 enrollment is where they want to go. They don't want to be in the country anymore. They now want to be in the city, which is, of course, a great advantage for Chatham. But as these challenges face Chatham, we have done a couple of things. We are now, it may surprise you to know, the largest provider of post-baccalaureate health science degrees, except for MDs, in the city. We have more than a third of our enrollments are in health sciences, graduate programs all the way through the doctoral degree. So we are a very large provider of personnel for the public health care system. So we've distinguished ourselves and made ourselves valuable. I mentioned another earlier, which is dual admission to graduate and undergraduate programs with shortened time to degree to pay attention to some of the cost of higher education. And finally, with the creation of Eden Hall, we are not just in Pittsburgh. We have the world's first campus that is created sustainably. We're carbon neutral. We produce our own energy, process our own wastewater, grow much of our own food. It's an absolutely unique campus in the world, and we've won international awards for the combination of architecture and curriculum. So to distinguish yourself, to occupy a special niche in this very difficult world, as opposed to being plain vanilla again, is a very important thing, and that's what we've done.
So looking back over 24 years as president of Chatham University, what is the accomplishment you're most proud of?
Well, I'm very proud Chatham didn't close, which it was on the edge of in 1992. And I'm very proud that today that's a distant memory for most people. It is an institution that is the best of the most innovative institutions around, I think. We are a leader in higher ed for the way in which we confront problems, serve students, relate to our city, for example, this leadership in sustainability. I'm very proud of the way in which Chatham has tried to avoid the worst of the usual way of doing things while preserving the best of the traditional ways.
My guest has been Esther Barazzoni. For the past 24 years, she's been the president of Chatham University. She is retiring and joined us for what we call an exit interview. Dr. Barazzoni, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Paul.
More Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.